Our speaker this morning became a follower of Jesus Christ in 2010. He has been speaking in Elevate, a youth ministry of Christ-commissioned fellowship and various universities and campuses in Cebu since 2012. He is passionate to make Christ-committed followers who will make Christ-committed followers. He is currently managing a family business in Mualbual with his wife, Jana. Together, as a couple, they are part of the core team in Living Word's Mualbual Church Plant. Church, let us all welcome Brother Clive Jason White.
Praise God. Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? Good. My wife and I were at the Saturday service last night. We had a great time worshiping the Lord. So it's always a privilege. I'm always very excited to share the word when I get the chance to share God's word with His people. And today is another day of that for me. So I'm so grateful for that. As you've heard, my wife and I are based in Mualbual. Okay, it's the south of Cebu, very far from the city. So my wife and I are very happy every time we get to come to the city and see all the buildings again, because we're surrounded with a lot of goats and a lot of cattle, and a lot of we're close to the sea, so very close to nature, which we like, right? So as I said, we're very happy every time we get a chance to visit the city. So just greetings from your brothers and sisters from Living Word Mualbual. We're still very small. It's led by Pastor Dave Osmeña and his wife Ellen. And we've been meeting, it's just three, we're about just three or four couples meeting every week in prayer and in discipleship. So we're still very new, and we've just recently started a Sunday service there. So I'm learning my Bisaya, okay? It's very deep over there, okay? So I'm learning Hinay-Hinay, right? But I speak fluent Bisaya, by the way. So as we start, why don't I ask everyone to please rise in reverence to God's word. So let's just imagine that there are some slides on the side. Okay, there. All right, we're going to be reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Okay, and this is going to be, we're going to be reading from the NIV. And everybody help me read. 1, 2, 3, go. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone, and he had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Why don't we commit this time to the Lord? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us this wonderful place and this wonderful privilege to worship you, O God. And I pray for my brothers and sisters today who are going through a tough time, who are going through a difficult season in their life. And I pray, O Lord God, that you give them the comfort that they need. I pray, O God, that you give them the peace that their hearts need, O Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here seeking for answers, looking for meaning, looking for purpose, O Lord God, I pray that they find their answers in you alone. And I pray, O Lord God, for the service from start to finish, Lord, that you alone will be glorified. And I pray, Lord God, for myself, may you use your messenger, fill me with your Holy Spirit, O Lord God, use me for your glory this morning. We're so grateful and thankful, Lord. If there's anything in our hearts, in our minds, or in our lives that might distract us from hearing your word, we pray, O Lord God, that you just take them away. Give us fertile soil, O Lord God, for our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, would you take your seats? So I want to start off with a question. Okay, I don't know if you have felt this before, but I know I have. And the question is this. Have you ever felt alone before? Have you ever felt alone? Why do I ask that? It's one thing to be alone, okay, when you're alone and no one's there. But it's completely another thing to feel alone. What do I mean? You could be in this place filled with people and still feel alone. Am I right? Let me give you an example, a funny example that I've experienced a couple of years ago. I was in a service, and the pastor was a singer as well, right? He has a really good voice, and he sings. And so after the message, towards the end, he wants to sing a song to the Lord. And so he was singing a song to the Lord, a really good song. I forgot the title, but he was singing it, and there was a really high note. Right? He was singing it really well. It was on, it was good pitch, good everything. And so I felt, okay, in my heart, I was seated in front row, one of the first two rows, with my family, and behind me is my good friends, right, very close friends of mine. So as he was singing that note, right, and he's closing his eyes and singing, I felt the urge, I felt the emotion, and I felt his passion as he was singing. So I stood up slowly, and I clapped my hands, standing ovation for him. And I was thinking that if I did that, people behind me would follow. No, I was like, yes, whoa, praise God. And what happened? I looked behind me. Everyone was just seated down. And I was the only one standing. So what I did was, I just slowly sat down again. It's filled with people. I felt so alone. My friends, they deserted me. No, my close friends said, brother, what did you do? Okay, after the service, he said, bro, I bet you're a fan of the pastor. You're such a good fan. And that's true. I hope the pastor knows. No? I'm a good fan. Right? Have you ever felt alone? But in a more serious tone, right? Have you ever felt alone before where no one understands you? That no one really listens to what you are saying? And most of us have an understanding of the value of having someone with us who understands. Of having someone with us who listens to us. Why do I say that, right? Because so many people are living their lives alone. And you should never do life alone. Never live your life alone. As I said, you could have 5,000 friends on Facebook and feel alone, right? You could have so many followers on your social media, so many friends, so many people you chat to, but still feel alone. Right? And I understand, like, you could be maybe in school or at work, you could be the quietest person and feel alone, or you could be the most boisterous and noisiest person at work or in school and still feel very alone. You could be very successful in the world's eyes and still feel alone. Why? Because you're living your life on your own and for yourself. And I understand that there are two types of people. There are extroverts, right, who feel like they have a lot of friends, and there are introverts. And I don't know if you believe me, but I am actually an introvert, no? And the Lord's just slowly, as I've been walking with Him, He's just been changing me, right? And He wants me to speak to His people. So there are extroverts who are very boisterous, and hi, my name is, and you, hey, I'm going to add you, right? Let's be friends. And there are those introverts. But introverts doesn't mean you don't have friends. Introverts just means I choose my friends. And I'm more careful with my friends, right? And you have a smaller circle. But we all need people in our lives. That's the truth. Whether you're an extrovert, whether you're an introvert, you need people in your life as you're walking, and as you're living your life. Okay, why? Because we are made for relationships. That's why we're here. God created us for relationships. First, for our relationship with Him. That's the most important relationship we have. Our relationship with Him is the most important relationship. And He also created us for relationship with the people around us. Right? The people around us. And I've talked to so many pastors, and they share so many stories of when they're at the deathbed of so many people, whether they're Christian or not. What do people who are dying, who do they want around them? They don't want their diploma. They don't say, hey, can you pass me all my diploma? Can you bring me all my titles for my land? I want to see them for the very last time. No, they don't do that. They want their family to be around them, and they want their friends. And if they have any grievances, any shaky relationships, they want peace with them. And that's when they apologize, when they're at their deathbed, right? And that's when they want to mend relationships. Why is that? Because relationships are important, right? Relationships are important. And sadly, I'm very guilty of this. Sometimes we give priority over things than relationships. We prioritize work, we prioritize our phones and so many things rather than prioritizing relationships. So whether you're a Christian or not, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, we need people in our lives that we are close to. So I've entitled this message, Walk Together, Grow Together. Why don't you tell the person beside you, walk together, grow together. Okay, good. So we're really going to be talking about the importance of being in a small group, being with people around you who love you for who you are. And we're going to be talking more about that in a while. So we're going back to our passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It's believed that it was Solomon, the son of David, right, the author of this book. And Solomon was, at this time, after his writing this book, he was at an older age, okay? And Solomon looked back at his mistakes that he made in his life and drew practical wisdom and an eternal perspective on them. So, in this passage, you're going to see a contrast. He's going to be contrasting a couple of things, and we're going to be learning a lot from this passage. So, why don't we dive in to God's Word. Verse 7, it says, I saw something meaningless under the sun. Okay? And then he describes it. What is that something that he thinks is meaningless? And you're going to see this word, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's going to be this word, meaningless, meaningless, all the time. Or in some translations, it's vanity. Or in if you translate that to its original meaning, it's really vapor. It's there and it's gone. It's like smoke. You see smoke where it's really dark? It's like it's solid. But when you grab it and touch it, it disappears. It's meaningless. That's what it's trying to tell us. Okay, verse 8. Look at what it says. Verse 8. There was a man all alone. Okay, and he had neither son nor brother. So there is a guy who was all alone. He didn't have a son and he didn't have family or a brother. Okay, and they continues. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content in his wealth. So he was working very hard, and he was very wealthy. Okay? He didn't read Pastor Mel's book, Enough is Enough. No? He was very wealthy, and he kept working and working and working. And verse, the next line, it says, he realizes it, and he says, for whom am I toiling? Why am I working so hard in the first place? Right? And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? Why am I deprived? I'm not even enjoying my work, the fruit of my labor. I'm not even enjoying it. And then the author says, this too is meaningless. This is a miserable business. Why? This guy was living alone. The author describes someone who is living a solitary life. He's living alone with no one around him. He doesn't have someone to pass on the business to. His son, he doesn't have anyone to pass on his inheritance, and he doesn't have family to be around, and he's not even enjoying the fruit of his labor. And why am I saying that? Okay, because we're not meant to live this life alone. Okay, we're not created for that. We're created for community. We're created for relationships. So what am I trying to say? Be part of a small group. Okay, be part of a small group. As Christians, we need to be surrounded with the right group of people who are running the same race as we are. Okay? We need to be part of a small group. And we're going to be learning what are some benefits, okay, based on the verse, what are some benefits of joining and being a part of a small group. And we'll be going through that as we go along. In verse 9, okay, he starts with one man. He starts with a solitary man. And then verse 9, he says what? Two are better than one. Starts with one. Verse 9, he says, two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good return for their labor. And it's practical, okay? When two people are working, they're more productive. Like, for example, if you had a construction business, okay? If there was one person working, he'd work really hard. But if there are two, you're more productive. And that's the same with us. Why am I saying this? That when there are two, when we're part of a small group, it makes us more productive. Especially when we're doing the Lord's work. And I will explain in a while, but just to give you an example, okay? I don't know if some of you have tried going to the gym before, but I know I have, okay? My wife and I just got married earlier this year in January, and before the wedding, okay, I wanted to, like, look good, okay, for her, right? So I go to the gym. There was a gym where we were living, and in this gym, okay, just for those of you who are thinking that I'm still going to gym, I'm not anymore. Okay. After the marriage, I know that you love me unconditionally, so I stopped. Okay. So thank you, honey. So in the gym, let's go back to the gym. There's this buff guy, buff trainer, who's there. Okay. His name is, okay, I'm not going to say his name, but he's a big guy. Okay. So it's a very quiet gym, and I go there. Every time I see him, he really pushes me hard. Okay. Like to lift, like, even if I know I can't lift it, he's like, okay, let's go higher. Man, right? And so I'm going to do this for the marriage, do this for the wedding, do it for, right? And so he pushes, come on, one more, right? And I'm pushing. The next day when I wake up, I can't move my body, right? Everything hurts, right? But when I'm going there, okay, I try to make sure that it's his day off, okay? He gets a day off once a week. So when I'm there, I'm like, yes, I just go jogging 5 minutes, lift some small weights. Okay, I'm done, right? And so you get the idea that when we're with a community, when we're with someone, they're there to encourage us and then there to make us more productive. And as I said, it's the same thing. When you're part of a small group, you're not just being productive. You're doing something that is eternal. That you're doing something as a group that will last forever. That you're praying for one another, that you're studying God's word, that you're making disciples, and that you're, as you're in that group, you're being guided, you're being mentored. You can ask questions, right? And so it makes us more productive. Imagine, okay, if Pastor TJ was the only one who did all the production for Sunday, right? He'd play the keyboard, he'd play the guitar, he was going to sing. Right? He also changes the slides at the back. He makes sure the aircon is everything, it's prepared, and he speaks God's word. Right? One man show. It's not how it works. In the church, in the community, we're supposed to be in small groups because as we're serving, we serve in small groups. If your group, if your friend is ushering, bro, I'm going to be ushering this Sunday. You want to join me? And you guys serve together. Right? I'm going to be in the music team. Can you support me as I practice? And you're there. You're helping each other. And I'm sure today, as we're seated here in this very convenient place, people were working. Groups were working together. People were praying, right? In small groups. It makes us more productive. So we can't rely on just one person. We need to be part of a small group so we grow, right? That we walk together, grow together. Verse 10, let's continue. If either of them falls down, okay, there are two people. If either of them falls down, what happens? One can help the other up. Okay? Just to give us a background, the roads in that time were not as smooth as the roads that we have today. Okay? The roads that they had in their time were very rocky and not so smooth. Right? There are a lot of rocks on the road. So what they do to fall down and to slip is not uncommon. It was very common during that time, right? Especially if it was very dusty. So the author says, if either of them, if you're two of you walking, if either of you fall, okay, you know that you have someone to help you up. Okay? And then he describes the opposite. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Right? Pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. What is that saying? When we're part of a small group, it encourages us. We know that we have someone with us. Okay? We know we have someone with us and someone around us. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but do you know of people who have fallen down emotionally? Okay, do you know of people who have fallen down academically, maybe in school, who have failed? Or do you know of people who have fallen morally? Okay, maybe we know those people, or maybe we have experienced it ourselves. Okay, and when you're living your life alone, and you're walking this life alone, and you fall, and you stumble, it's very hard for you to find someone to help you up. Why? Because you're living alone. But when you have people around you who love the Lord and who love you, and while you're walking, they see that you're slipping. They see that you're going down a hill. Your friends won't just leave you. Your friends won't even make you fall. They're going to hold you. If my wife and I were walking in a dusty road, in a dirt road, if I see her about to fall, I'm not going to watch her fall and roll down the hill. Before she even falls, I'm going to hold on to her. Why? Because I'm encouraging her. I'm supporting her. We're walking together in this life. I'm not going ahead. She's not behind and following me. We're walking side by side. So that if someone falls, whoop, we have each other. And so many people in this room are living your life, our lives, alone. With not having other people around you. I don't want to share. I just want to be alone. All right? I'm fine. I'm Christian. I read my Bible. I go to church on Sunday. That's fine. I don't want to be involved. It's messy. Right? The truth is, it is messy. Right? But we're made for really. That's how we grow. As we walk together, we grow together. Okay? So, I also realize this. Listen to this. That it's when we fall, we realize the value of a friend. Okay? It's when you fall, you realize who's there with me. Who's there to pick me up. Who's there to lift me up. To bring me up. Right? Or are you living your life and when you fall, you know that there's no one there. And you just lay there and you roll. Right? And you make more damage. And you stumble and you just stay here. No one's there to help me up. Right? But when you're living your life with people who love you, right? They're going to help you up. Right? So, I like what this says. One of the most comforting words to hear from someone is this. Me too. Okay? That I understand. Like, you're there, you're down. I've been there before. Right? Many times when we're down, many times when we have fallen, many times when we have stumbled, all we really need to have is someone to hear us out. All we really need to have is someone to be there with us. Not someone to tell us what we did wrong. And if we're not careful, okay, we can be so quick, even as Christians, to say, oh, see? Especially in our culture, what would we say? Right? I told you so. Right? Gahi kagulo. Right? And we'll do that and so quick to, this is what you did wrong, this is what you should have done. No. Sometimes, it's a balance. I'll tell you a little bit later, but sometimes you just need to listen. You just need to have someone to lift you up. What's wrong? I want to listen to you. I don't want to just tell you, okay, this is what you need to do. This, no. I want to listen to you. You know what? Me too. I've been there. A couple of years ago, that happened to me. Right? And all you need is someone to hear you out. Someone to listen to you. Do you know, some of you know this guy? His name is? Nick Vujicic, right? I think I pronounced it well. Nick Vujicic is a motivational speaker, and he's also a preacher of God's Word. He's spoken to millions of students and people around the world. I think a couple of years ago, he was in Manila to speak to a huge conference, right? And so Nick Vujicic, he has, as you can see in the picture, that's not edited, he has no arms. And he has no legs, Okay? He only has, he says to himself, he says, I only have a left chicken wing on his left foot. And you can see on the left, he says it's his chicken wing. And he was born that way, but he was so blessed to have parents who spoke life into him. Someone who would listen to him. He was depressed at a very young age because people didn't understand who he was and why he was. And it is the same. He had so many questions in his life. But his parents loved the Lord and guided him and spoke life to him, listened to him. And this is what he says. He kept praying. When he was younger, he kept praying, Lord, I know you can do all things and nothing is impossible with you. And he says, Lord, can you grow me a new pair of hands? New pair of feet. He kept praying that every day. And then he realized that he got mature. As he matured, he said, I'm never going to get that. Okay? As he matured. And this is what he says. If you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle for someone else. Okay? Amen? If you don't get the miracle that you're praying for, you can be the miracle that someone else is praying for. What am I trying to say? Okay? As he was preaching, okay, one of those years, the first, I think 2008 or something, as he was praying, as he was about to close, a mother lifted up a child with the same deformity as he had. His kid's name is Daniel, and this was the first time that they met. So when he lifted it up, he started to tear because he didn't understand, wow, he has the same deformity as me. Okay, and his same left foot, small left foot. Okay, and he said, wow, imagine if I had someone to look up to at my age and have someone who understood what I was going through. And that's the same. He said, I didn't get my miracle, okay? But I am a miracle in Daniel's life. So what did he do? He knew Daniel was bullied as a child. So he went to Daniel's school and he spoke about bullying. Okay, he said, you know what? That's not what we're supposed to do. And he said, you know what? Daniel is the coolest kid in his school. And he was sharing. So many people were so emotional. So many people understood, right? And after that day, Daniel became the coolest kid in his school, right? Why? When you don't get the miracle that you're praying for, you can be the miracle for someone else. All you need is a community to listen to you, to hear you out. Right? I've had so many encounters in my small group where they're going through stuff and I'm listening. I said, bro, I've been there. Right? I can hear you, me too. And I've also shared so many things in my life where they say, bro, me too. I've been through that in my life. So let's continue. Walk together, grow together. Why do we walk together and grow together? Why? Because it makes us more productive. More productive for the Lord, doing things for Him. Why? And what else? It encourages us. It encourages us. It encourages each other. Let's continue. Verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 11, it says this. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Right? And we have to understand what they're going through at this time. That when they were traveling before, they would travel far distances. It's not like they had a car, right? Or other modes of transport, okay? They had a couple of choices, but most of them would walk. And when they would walk from one place to another, it took days. And so in between, they would sleep, right? In between, they would sleep until they arrive into their destination. Let me give you the point here. When we're walking our life, and when someone was traveling alone, okay, they would sleep at night. And at night, it's not like the Philippines, right? When it's warm and cool. Over there, it's really cold, right? Really, really cold at night. So what they would do when you travel, you bring a lot of blankets, right? If you travel alone, you got to bring more blankets. Why? Because when you sleep at night, it's just you and the blankets. So the weight of the blankets, it's on your shoulders. But if we travel together, if we travel in a group, the weight of the blankets is shared. So the weight on our shoulders isn't so heavy. And when we're traveling, we're together and we're walking together and we get to our destination, we sleep beside each other, so we feel the warmth of our body heat. and we have the blankets over us. What am I trying to say? It supports us. When you're in a small group, you have support. You have people who carry your burdens with you. And that's what a small group is there for, to carry your burdens with you. Okay, and so many people today are living their life and it's so heavy. Right? The baggage that they're bringing with them every single day is so heavy. Why? Because you're living alone. You're not with people who love the Lord. You're not with people who love you, and you're not in a small group. So the weight on your shoulders is very, very heavy. Right? And that's not what's supposed to happen. You should be in a small group so you can help each other, support each other. If one of them's falling, I'm broke, come here. Let me help you up. I don't want you to fall, right? I don't want you to fall. And it's in these small groups, okay? What does the verse say? And if we lie down together, we will keep warm. What does this also have a picture of? What's the principle here? That there is closeness, that there is intimacy, that in your small group, you're close, and that you can share what you're going through, okay? This is what I've noticed. Men don't like to share what they're going through. Bro, how was your week? It's good. Praise God. Right? Any struggles? Not really. Right? And the girls, sis, what's going? Sis, come here. Right? And it's not too hard for women to share. Okay? Praise God for that. Right? But the men, for men, it's like they're a rock. Right? What do the men, if you're a man and you're leading a group and you're having a trouble with your small group, you need to spend more time with them. You need to build relationship first before men share. Right? Play basketball. Right? Right? Share na ko. Right? And you got to build relationship. You got to become closer. You got to be more intimate before people share. People don't just share what they're going through to some stranger they don't know. Understand? That when you're in a small group, you're close. That you're intimate. That you know when I share this, this stays in the group. When I share this, I know this person is going to pray for me. Okay? And I just want to reassure you that if you're in a small group and you're new, okay, and you only trust one person in that group for now, right? Then you just share to that person. You don't have to share to everyone, especially if you're not comfy or comfortable with it, right? So we're there, close-knit, right? And deep intimacy, close to each other. Next, verse 12, our last verse, where we're going to continue on. In verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. What is that trying to say? Okay, that when they were traveling, and you're traveling alone, you're most likely and so much easier to be robbed. Right? When you're traveling, especially in those days where there are a lot of thieves, a lot of robbers, if you travel a long distance alone, there's a good chance you're going to be robbed, right? Or even killed, okay? But if you travel in a group, you're safer. You can, like, though one may be overpowered, you can be easily overpowered, overwhelmed. Two people can defend themselves. And he says three strands is not quickly broken, okay? And what does that tell us? What does that tell us? That in a small group, we protect each other. It's for our protection. And you know, and I know, as Christians, we have an enemy. And our enemy is the devil. And he wants us to fail. He wants us to stumble. He wants us to stay away from groups, to stay away with other believers. He wants you to be alone. He wants you to feel depressed. He wants you to stay where you are, right? Let me give you an example. In Africa, lions, when they hunt, they hunt in a pack, in a group. Okay? And what they do is they look for a herd and they look for a missing link or someone who's very weak, a weak link in the group. Someone who's just eating, right? Everybody else sees the lion, right? Everybody else in the group sees the lion and they're running away and there's this one calf or this one buffalo who's just eating. I don't really care. I want to live my life on my own, right? And so what happens when you're away from the group and when you're away from the herd, the lion's attack. And it's very easy, so much easier for the lion's attack when you're alone. Right? It's so much easier for our enemy to attack us when we are alone. When we're living our lives on our own, for me, what I want, so much easier for the enemy to attack. But when we're in a group, we're in a small group, 2, 3 people, 5 people in your group, praying for one another, protecting each other, what happens? The lion, he run away. When I have your back in a small group, I have your back, you have mine. If I know you're going in a wrong direction, I'm going to help you. Bro, come back here. Stay in the group. Stay in the group. I'm going to protect you. We're going to protect each other. And it's when you live your life alone. So many leaders, so many pastors, okay, who are living their life on their own, who are not accountable to a group, that's when they stumble. That's when they fall. That's when Christians fall. And when we stumble, when we're living our lives alone, right? When you have people around you who are there to protect you and who love you, you'll be safe, right? You'll be safe. You're more vulnerable to get attacked when you're alone. You're more, and men know that, even women know that. That when you're alone and you're not telling anyone what you're going through, everything you plan, you keep to yourself, there's a good chance, okay, that you're going to fall, that you could fall, and that you could stumble when you don't tell anyone and you're just living your life for you, right? So let's continue. Proverbs, we've done with our main verse. In Proverbs, which Solomon also wrote, Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Okay, what this is saying, I remember what my discipler told me and taught me. He said this. He says this term he coined, sharp talk. Okay, and this sharp talk, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Another benefit of a small group is that it makes us better. Right? In a small group, as we live our Christian life, we're not supposed to be the same person. We need to be more Christ-like. Right? We need to be more sanctified, to be more like Jesus. It's in that small group that you're tested. It's in your small group where they tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. It still protects us. Okay, look at what it says. True friends don't tell you what you want to hear. They tell you what you need to hear. Amen? They tell you what you need to hear. And do you have people in your life who tell you what you need or what you want? The world will tell you what you want. Oh my gosh, yeah, you're doing a good job. Just don't mind God. Don't mind His word. Just do it. Go with your heart. Go with your heart. Follow your heart. Right? What would Christians say? Don't follow your heart. Follow the Lord. Follow Jesus. Is it easy? No. But if you're with people, they encourage you. They make you more productive. They protect you. They protect you. Sharp talk. So my discipler, okay, would come, Siege, come here. Okay, and he doesn't just tell me straight. Okay, there's a technique. And the technique is called a kiss, kick, kiss. So positive, you tell them what they need to work on, and then another positive. Right? Say, for example, you know what I mean. It's like a sandwich, really. Okay? It's a sandwich. You got to sandwich it. You don't just tell him, you know what? You got to change the way you talk. Right? It's very bad. Right? First, I'm so blessed you're here. You're very consistent in our group. Right? But I noticed, right, that you're a little bit loose on your words. Okay, so just be a little bit careful. Okay, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to encourage you. So keep it up, what you're doing, that you're always attending, right? So you sandwich it, but you tell them what they need to hear. You don't just ignore it. Okay, so as I said, the people, when they fall, they need someone to listen to them, but also you need some sharp talk. And it's a balance. Okay, you don't just leave them and, okay, it's okay. It's okay that you fell. It's okay, right? It's not like a baby. It's okay. No, right? No, you prick them up, okay? You listen to them, and then you share, okay? You give them the sandwich, Okay, you share. We help each other. We protect each other. So I want to give you an illustration, okay? I'm a scuba instructor, okay? So most of the time when I'm busy, I'm in the water. I'm in the pool, okay? And so these are some of my students, and they're good friends, they're classmates, and they're learning together. So when we're in the pool and when we're learning and staying there for a very long time, tendency is when we go up, I give them this sign, we stand up and we talk. I need to tell them what we need to do next. So I put their mask under their neck or above their head. And sometimes if you're not careful, because you're down in the water so much and you have pressure on your mask and you have a runny nose, when you lift it up, something else comes along with it. Okay, and it's not something nice. It's something sticky and green, right? And it's usually huge, right? And so sometimes I've had multiple occasions where it's on their face. So they remove it and it's on their face like this, and I'm trying to concentrate, right? To teach them. How can I teach when there's a big piece of stuff on their face, right? And so what I do is I try not to focus on it here. I try to look at their eyes. Okay, so you did a good job. And what happens? I try my best not to laugh. Because we're not too close and because we're not tight, it's hard for me to tell them, right? We're not close. So I don't know how to tell them, right? Maybe they're going to quit or something. You have something like this. Like maybe I'll just keep doing this, right? Yeah, you did good. But what happens is his friends, because they're so close, they tell each other, okay? They tell each other, bro, that's a thing, okay? And he does this and he wipes in a pool. Right? And funny thing is this. Okay, I can't tell them because we're not close, but when you're in a small group, when you're close, you can tell each other. No? I can tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. Right? So when you're close, and many times, what's the point of this story? Many times we can't see what's in our life. Okay, we just live our life. Right? It's the people we're close to. It's our family who sees who we really are. It's our small group who sees what we need to work on. So we need to tell each other, right? You don't just leave your friend with a big booger squishy thingy on your face, right? And keep them walking around, right? True friends laugh first and then tell them. Right? They laugh first, ha, ha, and then, okay, you got something on your face, right? But when you're close, you can tell each other what you need to hear. Let's continue. And then I realized this. He starts with one person. As we started our passage, he starts with a solitary man, one person. And then he says in the middle, two is better than one. And then at the last verse, he says, if we're not careful, we miss out on this. He says, cord of three is not quickly broken. Okay, and this can be related in marriage as well. What is this telling us? There's the husband, there's the wife, and there's Jesus, and there's God. And that we're three cords. It's not just the wife and the husband. Okay, when you have, what happens when it's just a wife and husband? When you have quarrels, when you have misunderstandings, you just untwine and you go separate ways, right? But when there is Jesus there, when you have misunderstandings, He is the rock. He is the foundation. What I'm trying to say, Christ must be the center of our relationships. In any relationship, not just your marriage, in your small group, Christ must be the center. In your fellowship with one another, Christ must be the center of our relationships. So in your small group, with your family, in your life. So we need people in our life. You agree? We need people in our life. But not just people. We need the right group of people in our lives. And this is what we're going to be talking about further on. So Proverbs 13, verse 20. Okay, walk, everybody help me read. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Look at what he says, the words of wisdom. Look at what he says. Walk, meaning live. When you walk, you're living. Okay? You're living your life. Walk with the wise and you become wise. We know that, right? A birds of the same feather flocks together, right? Birds of the same feather flock together. When you walk with the wise, you become wise. But look at the opposite. for a companion of fools suffers harm. What is this saying? A fool is someone who doesn't care about their life and how they live. Again, let me repeat. A fool is someone who doesn't care about their life and how they live. And this is what it says. When you're a companion of a fool, you don't just become a fool, you suffer harm. There's a negative effect. Okay? So, walk with the wise, you become wise. Walk with a fool, companion of a fool, you become fool, and you suffer harm. There's a negative effect. Okay, and let me try to illustrate this even more. If you're close, people who are fools or don't care about how they live and how they live, about their life, don't care about their life and how they live, okay? If you're close to them, okay, you're in a small group and that's how they live, that's their lifestyle. They don't care about the world, they don't care about their life, and they don't care about how they live. If that person doesn't care about their life, what makes you think they're going to care about yours? You understand? If this person who you are so close to and your childhood friend, right? He's living his life and he's just going with the flow, right? I don't really care about my life. I just go, right? I'm going to work here. Okay, I'm going to work here. I want to move. I don't feel like I'm just going to move. Right? And drink and just dust all these things. They don't care about their life. They don't care about how they live. What makes you think they're going to care about yours and how you live and what you do? Well, when you walk with the wise, when you live your life with people who love you, people who love the Lord, they're going to help you. They're going to protect you, encourage you, support you. Right? So we need people who are going in the same direction as we are. We have a destination. And that destination should always be towards the Lord. Always be towards Jesus. Right? That should be our destination. As Christians, that's our destination. We want to be more like Him. And we want to be the salt and the light of the world. Right? But when you're close, I'm not saying don't hang out with them. Right? I'm saying if you're close, it's going to affect you. And you're in a group, you want to be here, they're going here, there's a rift, right? You're going to have a choice. Sometimes you're going to be here, and on Sundays, Lord, I'm going to follow you, right? And sometimes, oh, I just want to follow them, because we're close, we're tight, right? I want you to evaluate your life, I want you to evaluate your friends, your close friends, okay? I'm not saying don't befriend them. We need to reach out to them. Right? That's why we're here, to reach out to the lost, right? But not to be tight. That should not be your small group. Your small group should be those who love God and love each other. So walk together, grow together. Be part of a small group. And we're just going to look very quickly at what the believers did. Okay, as they started the church, what did they do? And we're going to read this in Acts. As the church started, Acts chapter 2, verse 43, 45. Everybody help me read. 1, 2, 3, go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property, possessions to give to anyone who was in need. What did the believers do? They devoted themselves. There are a lot. Look at all the words that are underlined. It's community. It's people who were together, right? And they studied God's word. They prayed. They were so amazed and at awe at what the apostles were teaching. And together, they had everything in common. Even helped each other out. Like, if you need something, I'm going to help you, right? Next. What happens in the next verse? Every day, everybody help me read. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with a glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, look at the first part of the verse. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts, in church. In the big group. That's the big group. This is today, right? We're meeting in the temple courts. But the early Christians, they didn't just meet on Sundays, right? They continued. Look, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There's a big group, there's a small group. And some of us are just in the big group. And in a big group, you can't ask questions. In the big group, you're alone, right? Just greet the person beside you and welcome them to church. Hello, hello. We don't really know them. We just smile and greet, right? When you're in a small group, you know each other. I know what you're struggling with. You know mine, right? It's not just friendship. It becomes a family of believers. And that's how, this is how the church started, my dear brothers and sisters. Look at the last part of the verse. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's the Lord who adds the number. We just need to be faithful, right? And meeting in big groups, meeting in small groups, fellowshipping with one another, loving each other. So this is how we grow. This is how the church grows in small groups. Okay, imagine if this is quite a big number, a big group, and the church is growing every year, right? Imagine if this was 5,000 people. We probably wouldn't fit, but 5,000 people, right? And none of their two or three groups in that 5,000 people. What would we get? Sunday Christians. That's what we would get. Right? It's when you when you're in a small group, you grow as a Christian and you mature. You can ask questions, right? So some reasons, very quickly, some reasons why we're not in a small group. Okay? We're too busy. We think we don't have the time, but the truth is this: you will always make time for something that's important to you. So if you realize after this service, you know what? Small group is important. I need to be part of it. I'm gonna make time for that. And I'm sure the church will help you find a group that fits your schedule. Next, we're shy. Okay? I used to be very shy. Not anymore. Sometimes, right? And what happens is someone most likely will invite you to the group and you're going to keep declining. Right? No, I don't want to be there, right? And eventually when you give it a try, it's going to change your life as it changed many others, right? And we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to share, right? Especially, as I said, the men, they're like a rock, right, to start with. But when you spend time with them, when you're intimate with each other, you break that barrier, and then they share. Like, what you're struggling, bro, I've been struggling with this. Bro, our business is a little bit rough today. And you pray for each other. You help each other. Next, we don't think we need it. The truth is, we do. All of us do. Okay? So, I have asked one of our sisters, Sister Eleanor, from the MD group, to share her story, share her testimony with all. Why don't we praise the Lord for Sister Eleanor?
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am Eleanor Marquez, a retired public school teacher, and I retired 5 years ago after teaching 40 years in Abiliana National School. Now, I was born a Roman Catholic. And for 62 years, I was. And being a Catholic, I went to church every Sunday. And I prayed every day. I prayed my rosary. I prayed my novenas. And I'm even a chapel leader in our chapel. But looking back at this, I felt like they were done just like a simple, ordinary routine in my life. So meaningless. And so, we have a Bible in the house, but the Bible is just an ignored fixture in the house. I didn't read the Bible because I didn't have the feel to read it. And simple way of saying that I was not interested reading the Bible. until a co-teacher of mine, who is also a very dear friend, who was then also a Roman Catholic like me, but became a born-again Christian, came along. And I will never forget this friend because she is a part of my journey in my walk with the Lord. She patiently and painstakingly shared to me the gospel and told me how good the Lord is in her life. At first, I really found Edna to be so annoying and so irritating. Every time she talked about salvation and scripture, and I really tried to avoid her because she really annoyed me, and that I find excuses so that I will not be subjected to another boring conversation with her. But my friend Edna never stopped. She did not give up on me, even to the point of fetching me in the house together with his husband so that they can bring me with them to Living Word Banawa so I can also attend service with them. And I tell you, I went with them just really to please Edna, but also out of Kaikog. Imagine the drive from Pardo to Lahog, then bring me to Banawa and bring me back to Lahog. Until I began to complain, this went on until I began to complain the distance of Banawa and Lahog. But actually, it's just another darn excuse of mine. I said to Edna, Edna, this is too much. I cannot do this anymore. But you know what? There's no way of escaping Edna. Because she told me with all excitement, Noor, if you cannot make it here in Living Word Banawa, we have Living Word in IT Park. And it's just a walking distance to your place. So, that was late of 2013, later part, that I started attending Living Word IT Park. And every time I attended service, I envied those who attended service full of passion and intimacy as they praise and worship the Lord. And in my heart, I wish I could have their passion because I did not really have that during those times until somebody invited me to join a small group. Now, we call this group, I joined the small group because out of curiosity. And then we call this group Make Disciples Group or MD Group, Medical Doctors, MD Group. And I was with women whose ages 45 above. And because we are a little bit older, so we also call ourselves the Senior Ladies MD Group. And we meet every Saturday, 2:30 to 4:30. And you know what? I tell you, since I started joining the small group, a lot of changes happened in my life. And I can enumerate here some that really amazes me with the group. Number one, eagerness to read the Bible, the excitement to read the Bible. I told you in the beginning, I never had any interest at all reading the Bible. But when I joined the group, as if the Bible become a vital part in our lives, as if all questions, all the answers are in the Bible. And we even, when we come to share, we memorize verses. Oh my God, I'm so fascinated. And the second is praying. I don't know how to pray before. I thought I just say one Hail Mary, one Our Father, and one Glory Be. I thought I'm doing okay. But you know, when I joined the small group, praying should be just a simple prayer, but with a heartfelt intentions. And then you say to the Lord, I learned how to praise and glorify the Lord, exalt His name. then confess when I have committed sin, and then thanking the Lord for the many wonderful things that happen in your life, and also praying for others. It is very important in the prayer that it should be included in that manner. Then another is listening to praise testimonies. When we give our praise testimonies, oh my God, I stand in awe of God. That we have a God who answered prayers. We have a God of impossibilities. And that we have a God, a miracle working God. Amen. And then when we share the scripture. Actually, in the MD group, we are given assignments. And there are guide questions. These questions are related to the topic that will be preached on that weekend. So you can just imagine how we digest the topic. From studying, self-study, we answer the questions. Then to the discussion when we come to the MD group. And then to the hearing of the preaching when the pastor will expound on the topic. You know, after the service, we go out, we feel so busog, so full of our spiritual journey during that day. And another is the relationship that we created, the bond, the concern for each other, the sisterly feeling that we have for one another. You know, last weekend we learned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, wherein Paul was deserted by his followers, and I thought of my MD group. Oh, I have an MD group with sisters who feel my pains and my struggle. I am in my lower edge at this time, but when I confessed that to my sisters, I did not hear that they judge me or they condemn me. I have their support. And then I can feel that with the MD group, you are protected, you are reminded, and you are cared for. So nice, so fascinating. And the last that really amazes me is the MD group taught me obedience. Obey to the great commission of Christ to go and proclaim the good news. Because the MD group developed in me the boldness and the courage and the confidence to go out and then share the gospel. Because our MD group, we see to it that once a month we go out, and there in the vicinity of IT Park, there are a lot of lost souls that really need to hear the good news. And I tell you, our experience is remarkable. We go back to the church, we do feedbacking, what happened, and the joy that you were able to share the gospel, oh my God, cannot be described. It's indescribable. So I tell you, brothers and sisters, that being in the MD group really transformed me in a way that now I can feel that I had the intimacy and the passion in my relationship with the Lord, as I can feel that I can feel His presence in my heart every time I sing and worship Him. I even have sometimes tears. I shed tears. And that last September 24, 2017, that was last year, I was finally baptized. And I am now a committed member of the Living Word IT Park family. And I tell you, I am so blessed with the church, so blessed with Dr. Ang, our overseer. Every time she comes, because she lives in Singapore, she really finds time to sit with us in our MD group. And we really had great time with him. And I'm so blessed with all the pastors, Pastor Teji, Pastor Jojo, Pastor Jed, Pastor Makmak, because their sermons really enrich and increase my faith more and more. And I'm so blessed with Bradnick Shand. Bradnick is around. I'm so blessed with this guy because she is there always to clarify things when we are confused during our Bible study. And I'm so blessed with my sisters, led by Sister Rachel Shan, our discipler, because actually we didn't stop encouraging and inspiring each other to grow more and more glory to glory in our spiritual journey. And I'm so blessed because last July 22, 2018, my husband, Jerry, finally accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. After 5 years praying for Jerry that he will also come to have the saving knowledge of Jesus. And it was on that special date, July 22. Every time I invited her, always turned down my invitation. Ay, ikaw lang dito. But that certain date, July 22, I don't know. But when I invited her, he was more than willing to accompany me. And though in that sermon of Pastor Jojo, when he made an altar call and then he said, who wants to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior? And my Jerry raised his hand. And Pastor Jojo said, friends, you might think that someone is invited you to come here. But I tell you, this is not an accident that you are here. You are here because God invited you. God wants you to be here. And then Jerry was sobbing already. I can hear him sobbing. And then Pastor Jed came to his place and then prayed for him. And now Jerry is attending regularly Saturday service with me and also attending Bible study every Tuesday after finishing his 7 Wednesday starting poem class. Is this not an amazing work of God? So join me in giving God a big hand for this amazing grace. And you know, there was a time, there was a night that Jerry and I talked, and then we asked God, why? Why you came into our lives at our age when I'm already past 60 and Jerry is in his 70? Why did you not make yourself known to us when we are at younger age? But you know how God answered me? I read in my devotional reading a passage, God is not always in a hurry, but he is always on time. And I said to myself, oh, this is really our right time. God perfectly came in his own perfect time. So I can say, thank you, God, for choosing us. And thank you, God, for loving us. And thank you, God, for starting a good work in us. And we are certain and we are sure that you are going to finish this until we see Jesus, until the coming of Jesus, until the return of Jesus, and we'll see him face to face. So brothers and sisters, I am encouraging you, I am inviting you, join a small group, join an MD group, and discover and experience how this group would also make an impact in your lives as it is in our lives. Thank you, and God bless us all.
Why don't we give the Lord another hand? Praise God for the MD group, the senior MD group, and the many other small groups that are meeting weekly. Okay, so I hope and I know we're a little bit over time. I just want to ask your permission to go a little bit, just give me a few more minutes as we close. So in Hebrews, okay, just very quickly in Hebrews, it says, the author says, and let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more that the day is approaching. What is this verse trying to tell us? That in the small group, we need to spur. Spur is what the cowboys have behind their boots, right? Where it's spur and they use it. with the horses to give it a jolt, to encourage it. And that's the same thing we do in the small groups. We need to spur each other towards love and towards good deeds, not giving up meeting regularly, meeting together, okay? And just very quickly in Galatians, we all know the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit, everybody help me read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay, let me illustrate this. You learn, okay, as we grow and mature, we develop the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit indwells us and we develop that. And it's where we, in the small group, it's in the small group you can practice love, joy, peace. How can you learn how to love? You learn how to love when you have imperfect people in your group, right? The same as you are imperfect. How do you learn patience when you have people in your group who are very hard to deal with, right? Who have many questions, right? And how can you learn how to be faithful and gentle? It's in your small group that you develop these things. Right? Same in our in any marriage. That's where you realize that's when you can grow and learn how to love unconditionally and be patient and be kind. It's in those small groups. You will never learn how to love when you are alone. You need to be surrounded with people. God didn't tell us to go on a mountain, live on our own, and stay there, be at peace. No, He said, go therefore and make disciples. And making disciples involves meeting people, getting to know people, praying for people, hearing them out, encouraging them. Okay, walk together, grow together. Why? It makes us more productive. It encourages us. It supports us, carries the load, and it also protects us. No one, I just want to give you just a couple more reminders towards the end, as we end, that no one in your small group, you have to remember that no one is better than the other. Okay, I don't want you to think, oh, he's been a Christian for 5 years and I just started. He's better than me. The truth is, the grace of God puts us in the same level. Amen? It's the grace of God is a gift for everyone. And we just need to receive it. And no one in your group is better than the other. No one is, he's more of a sinner than I am. Right? I think he's new. He doesn't even know God yet. Right? And that's what you're thinking. That you're better than him. The truth is this. No one is better than the other. We're all on the same level. Because God gives his grace to everyone. Amen? Let's continue. Okay? We are all broken people. In the group, we're all sinners, loved by a perfect Savior. That's what you have to realize. That in your group, we're broken, we're sinners, but we all have one common denominator. And it's that God's love for us is unconditional. That He loves all of us. So in James, I didn't share this last night. Because we also run out of time, but just very quickly, I believe that God's people needs to hear this. James chapter 5, verse 16. Everybody help me read. Therefore, confess sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Okay, and just to give you a little bit of the context, what they were talking about, this is talking about the prayer of faith. And if someone was sick, you'd call the elders, they'd pray for you and lay some oil on you. And then this verse says, therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Let me clarify something. As Christians, when we sin, we confess to God and He will forgive us, right? We admit our mistakes, our weaknesses, and Lord, please forgive me. Give me the strength to say no. Allow me to walk the right path. And why is this verse saying, therefore, confess to each other? Okay, why is it saying, confess to each other? Confessing to each other is not for us to be forgiven of our sins. Okay? Because forgiveness comes from God. We don't have to go through someone to ask for forgiveness from God. We go straight to Him because of what Jesus has done. But why is this verse saying, confess to each other? Okay? We don't confess to others for God to forgive us. We confess to others for what? Accountability. That's why we confess to each other. Okay, what am I trying to say? Accountability is telling someone what you're going through. Telling them your plans so that they know where you're headed. They know where you're going. So many people, so many Christians don't have someone they're accountable to. So they're living on their own. They're not telling anyone what they're doing. They're not telling anyone their plans. And so very easily, they stumble. And very easily, they fall. Because they're not accountable to someone. And we need that small group so that we can share. And we can confess, brother, I'm struggling with something. Sis, you know what? I'm struggling with pride. Can you pray for me? Can you help me? But when we're not telling anyone, when we're not sharing that to someone else, we keep it to ourselves, and we're still living our life on our own. You're in a small group. You're not sharing anything. And so you're still living your life on your own. We need to be accountable for each other. So why? So we can pray for one another. Right? We can pray for one another. Lastly, before our last verse, you have to remember that our relationship with God is the most important relationship that we have in this world. Okay? And as we're closing, I was so amazed last night. I didn't coordinate with the worship team, but our worship leader shared, if you've noticed, as we were worshiping God, he shared the whole chapter of Isaiah 53. And so yesterday, as I was about to end, I also had this verse already prepared to share with you. And why do I share this? Hey, we're talking about small groups. We're talking about how important it is. But I always end sermons and I always end messages on the question, why? Why do we do what we do? Why do we meet in small groups? Why do we worship God? Why do we come to church? Why are we doing what we are doing? And this answers that question. And so many other verses answers that question. And this is from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, many years, many, many years before Jesus came on earth. He prophesied. He was prophesying about this. This gives us what Jesus, a picture of what Jesus has done for us. Look at what this says. Verse 5. Everybody help me read. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Okay? Look at the verse. That he was pierced. This is a picture of what Jesus has done. He was pierced, what? For our rebellion. That we're very rebellious. That he was crushed, not for his sin, for our sin, for my sin, for all of our sins. That he was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And if we're honest with ourselves, okay, as we end, if we're honest with ourselves, we all know that we are great sinners in need of a great Savior. And Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is that great Savior who was pierced for our rebellion, who was crushed for our sin. He took the beating for us, for you, and for me. Why? Christianity is not man reaching out for God. That's what we think. That's what religiousness is. We're reaching out. We're looking for God. We want to reach God. Christianity, true Christianity, is God reaching out to man. Because all of us have fallen. All of us have stumbled. All of us have a lot of wounds on our feet from stumbling and stumbling and stumbling. The verse after this says, we are all sheep who have gone astray and have gone our own way. And that's the truth. We don't care about God. A lot of the times we care about us and what we want, my life, what I want to buy, what my future is. It's all about us. And we're so self-centered. And the truth is, when you fall, it's when you fall you realize the value of a friend. And you don't just have a friend in God, you have a Savior. And you have a Father who loves you. And so many of us are on our knees, so many of us are on the ground. And this is what happens. There are two options. God is reaching out to all of us. And he has his hand on us to help us up because all of us have fallen short. All of us have sinned or all of us are on the floor. God is reaching out. There are two options. You could ignore him. Some people are like that. Because of their pride, they say, no, I don't need your help. I can get up on my own. So they try to get up and stumble even more. They try to get up and break their leg, right? And it just gets worse and worse. When you do things on your own with your own strength, it just gets worse and worse. But when you humble yourself, when you admit, Lord, I've made so many mistakes. I've done so many things that don't please you. Please help me up. And he's reaching down to all of us. And he says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Get back up. Get back up. He lived the life we could never live. And he died the death that we should have died. So what should be our response? Knowing that there is a God who died for us and sacrifice his life for us. Our response should be living for him. What you do when someone dies for you, live for that person. Because he saved you. And he saved all of us. So why don't we end with a prayer? Let's all bow down our heads and close our eyes. And let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you so much, O Lord God, for reminding us how important it is to be in community, to be with a group of people who love you and who love each other. But before that, O Lord, you've helped us realize how broken we are and how lost we are and how alone we are. And I know some of my brothers and sisters in this place right now are living their life alone. And they feel the weight of the world on their shoulders. And they have been living all their life carrying their burdens, carrying their problems, and just living on their own. And I know, oh God, that you have brought them here to tell them that you are with them and that you're reaching out to them, that you don't want them to keep falling, that you don't want them to stay where they are, that you had your hand, you've been beside them ever since, and you're just waiting for them to respond to your love, respond to what you have done for them, that you love them, you have a great plan for them. They just need to admit that they have made mistakes, admit their sin, admit their rebellion and our sin, and stand up, humble ourselves. Believe in what you have done on the cross, that you came to die for all of our sins, and on the third day you rose again to prove that you are God, and that you are not dead, that you are a God who is alive and who is active in our lives. And so I just want to pray for that group of people right now who feel alone, who feel the weight of the shoulder, who don't feel God's presence in their life, who have stumbled. Those who have fallen, those who have been living their life on their own. And I just want everyone's eyes to be closed, all heads bowed down. I just want to see if that's you. And if you want to respond to God's love, you want to respond to God's call, his outstretched arm is reaching down to you. And if that's you and you want to commit your life to God, you want to follow him, you want to change the way you live, you want to change your life, if that's you, just slowly lift up your hand and I just want to pray for you. If that's you today, you want Jesus to come into your life. You want Jesus to be a part of your life. You want him to be the center of all relations. If that's you, I see your hands, my brothers and sisters. Keep them up. We'll be praying for you. You want him in your life. Don't be ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of you. He loves you unconditionally. You can keep your hands down. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Let's pray. All of us, just pray this prayer. Repeat after me, as our brothers and sisters will also pray this in their hearts. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you, God, for allowing us to see our sin, to see our rebellion, and yet we've experienced your love. We thank you for dying on the cross for all of our sins. We thank you for saving us. We believe, O Lord, in what you have done on the cross. We receive your gift of salvation. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for who you are. We commit our lives to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's celebrate those who prayed this prayer. And as we close, just very quickly, I just want to pray for the church. Lord God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. You have told us time and time again how important it is to be part of a small group. And I pray that you allow my brothers and sisters to step out of their comfort zone and sign up for a small group. For those who aren't in a group, I pray that they give it a try, O Lord God. It will change their walk with you. It will change their life. And for those who are in a small group already and have been in a small group, I pray that they evaluate their life. Are they an encourager? Or are they pushing their members aside? Are they pointing out their flaws? Or are they loving each other? Are they forgiving each other? And I pray also for a third group, O Lord God, for those who have been in a group for a long time and haven't started their own. I pray you give them the strength. I pray that you give them courage. And I pray you allow them to step out of their comfort zones, to seek your will, and to do what you have called us to do, which is to make disciples of all nations. We want to bless your name, O God. We thank you, O God, for the time that you have given us. Even the overtime, O God, it's nothing compared to the life that you have given us. You are worthy of all this time, O God. So we worship you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.